Thank you, Peter, for that reading. If you don't know me, my name is David Tubbs. I'm normally the music director here and occasionally preaching. You'll find in your service sheet a sermon outline on the back of the notices. That might be useful for you to follow along. And if you've got that, your Bibles open, do keep them open on page 1214. You'll find that useful to keep James chapter 2 open. And as we start together, why don't I pray for us? Heavenly Father, would you help us this morning? Would you help me to speak truthfully, to speak faithfully? And would your Spirit be active in all our hearts, helping us to listen and softening our hearts? Amen.
Amen.
Well, does it really matter what we do as Christians? Does it really matter what we do as Christians? God will forgive us anyway. At the absolute centre of our Christian faith is the truth that at the moment that we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of our sins are forgiven. Anything we have ever done or will do is forgiven. As the old hymn says, the vilest offender that truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. And so the obvious next question is, well, does it really matter? Does it matter what we do? We've been looking in our sermon series at the book of James, a letter from James to the first century Christians. And I guess the question boils down to, are we saved by faith alone? Well, James would say, it depends on the kind of faith. There is a kind of faith, says James, that doesn't lead to salvation. Faith without deeds is dead, says James. James is really clear about his point in this passage. It's the heart of his letter, of what he wants to say to his readers, and so he says it explicitly. In verse 17, have a look. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. In verse 20, faith without deeds is useless. Verse 26, faith without deeds is dead. And he explains what he means by this in verse 14. Faith without deeds cannot save you. And verse 24, faith without deeds will not make you righteous. It won't make you right with God. Faith without deeds is dead. And by deeds, James means the outworking of our faith, the Christian lifestyle that accompanies the Christian faith. James is not talking about being nice, being middle class. No, he's making a much bigger point. The good deeds he's speaking about are living the way God wants us to live. They're living the way God wants us to live. James says if we don't have deeds, then our faith is dead. It's useless. It's devoid of spiritual life. It's not saving faith. Well, this was obviously a problem for the Christians James was writing to. This idea of living out your faith comes up again and again in his letter. And it doesn't take too much careful thinking to see that this is still a problem today. Christians not living like Christians sounds all too painfully familiar, doesn't it? Any claim to be a Christian, to have faith, must be and can only be substantiated by actions, by living it out. If you can't see anything, then there's nothing there. If you can't see anything on the outside, it means there's nothing going on the inside. There's no smoke without fire. If there's no smoke, no visible evidence of Christian faith, there's no fire. There's no Christian faith. Well, in my preparations, I've been trying to think of ways of softening what James says a bit, making it just a bit easier for us to hear, to take on board. James doesn't mince his words. But I've come to realise that James would much rather offend you than allow you to carry on as a Christian with a defective faith. James cares more about your salvation than what you think about him. James is quite clear in his letter. Judgment is something we will all face, Christians as well as non-Christians. And what he wants to make sure of now, before it's too late, is whether our faith is any good, any use, to use his phrase, whether our faith will save us on the judgment day. It is so important. Well, perhaps you've heard in the news this week about the Vauxhall Zephyras bursting into flames. They all look fine. Here's a picture of one. This is what they normally look like. But some of them have a problem with overheating behind the glove box, leading to the car bursting into flames like this. There were 280,000 of them on the road, and some of them will be fine, and some of them could set on fire at any moment. James is saying, there could be a serious problem here. You need a spiritual MOT. So to help us work out what kind of faith we've got, James gives us four illustrations, four scenarios in this passage. The first two are examples of dead faith, of useless faith. And the second two are illustrations of living faith, saving faith. So firstly there, and you'll see on your handout, dead faith says the right things, but no action. James starts off with this question found in verse 14. Have a look with me in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? It's important to remember that James is writing to Christians, or those who would call themselves Christians. He calls them his brothers and sisters. If someone says they're a Christian but doesn't live like a Christian, then James asks, can their faith save them? And the question expects the answer, no, their faith cannot save them. James introduces a hypothetical situation to illustrate his point in verse 15. He says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their spiritual, about their physical needs, what good is it? Well, this would have been a very tangible illustration for the Christians James is writing to. They are poor refugees. James says, imagine a Christian is in extreme poverty. They don't have clothes or food. And instead of helping them, the person in the illustration says, go in peace, keep warm and well fed. It's a bit like a prayer of blessing, isn't it? It's saying all the right things. They do need to keep warm. They do need to keep well fed. But it's utterly meaningless. By not doing anything, they've shown that they don't really care. It has the outward appearance of a caring attitude, but their actions show that it's not a priority. It's a bit like the spiritual let's do coffee. We all know what let's do coffee means. It means I have no intention of going for coffee with you, but I want to give off the right impression. James says, verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. This is a picture, says James, of dead faith, saying the right things, but saying a completely different thing with our actions. He says in verse 14, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith, but has no deeds? We can claim to be a Christian all we want, says James, but until our actions back that up, it's meaningless. It's a bit like our beloved Prime Minister David Cameron in the election campaign. Here he is from a few years ago, showing how much he loves football, playing keepy-uppy with Gary Lineker, as one does. He was keen to post tweets about his favourite team, Aston Villa, and yet it all came unravelled when he slipped up in a speech and forgot the name of his team, saying West Ham instead. He says he's a fan, but his actions show that he's not. Faith without any action to back it up is like someone who says they care for the poor, but does nothing about it. It's contradictory. It's useless. Our culture has a great heritage in Christianity here in England. We have laws based on Christianity. We have Christian schools, religious education, a social and cultural affiliation with Christianity. But the real downside is that it's easy to assume that our association with Christian values or culture makes us a Christian. We live in a culture that says faith is a personal and a private thing. If you're a Christian, if you say you're a Christian, then you must be. If you put it on your census form, if you were baptized, if you went to a church school, if your family are Christians, if the culture of a Church of England church is appealing to you. But James says, none of those things are a measure of living faith. Any claim for Christian faith must be backed up with a Christian lifestyle. Otherwise, it's all talk. We could apply this in hundreds of ways. But let me address the elephant in the room, our church finances. This is an awkward topic, especially for me to speak about, given that my salary is paid by the church finances. But it is important, even if uncomfortable. When it comes to giving money to church, I can say the right things. I can hear about the church financial deficit and the vision for the church and think, that is hugely important. I can even pray the right things and say, Lord, would you provide the money for St. Peter's? But until I do anything about it, verse 17, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. I can say the right things, but until I put my money where my mouth is, it's meaningless. Dead faith says the right things, but doesn't back it up with actions. Secondly, they're on your handout. Dead faith believes the right things, but no action. In verse 18, James introduces another hypothetical argument. He says there in verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. This person is saying, some people are really good at faith, and some people are really good at deeds. He's just more of the faith sort of person. So it doesn't really matter too much about him not doing deeds. But James isn't having any of this idea. He says in verse 18, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. James is saying the only way to show our faith, to prove it to be genuine, is to back it up. But James goes one step further. It is even possible to believe the right things and have a dead faith. Verse 19, you believe there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You can believe that the God of the Bible is the only God and still have a dead faith. If we think it's okay to just know things about God without acting on that knowledge, James makes a shocking comparison. That kind of faith is demonic. It doesn't come up very often, but the Bible speaks of a spiritual reality going on that we don't see. And I'm sure you can guess that the demons don't like God. The demons know a lot about God. They could go to Bible college and come out with a first. But their knowledge of God does not lead them to following God. It doesn't lead to them being saved. It doesn't lead to the comfort and assurance of them being part of God's people. It leads to them being utterly terrified. It's not enough to know things about God. It's not enough to believe things about God. That knowledge and that belief needs to be expressed in a faith that is accompanied by actions. True faith is accompanied by a lifestyle that glorifies God. So is your faith purely head knowledge? You could clearly articulate the gospel. You could pray an intelligent and thoughtful prayer. You could have been to church all your life. We may know lots about God, but if it's just knowledge, then James calls us fools. In verse 20, you foolish person. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Faith that is just head knowledge is useless. It's a dead faith. Well, James has given us the negatives. Now for the positives. He gives us two positive examples of faith and deeds working together. A faith that isn't a dead faith, but a living faith. Living faith. Abraham, the first example. James points us to a specific example in Abraham's life. In verse 21 he says, "Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar?" Just to jog your memory, we've got a picture of that. It's not the original picture. I'm sure you got that. This event that James is referring to is shocking, and it deserves much more explanation than I have time to give it here. Let's get rid of that picture now. But it's worth understanding the context. God has made promises to Abraham that he will have many descendants. Abraham is an old man with a wife who couldn't conceive, put his faith in God. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God and his promises. Several years later, Abraham and Sarah had a baby, Isaac. And then God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, to kill his precious son, the one who would inherit all the promises made to Abraham. God is basically asking Abraham if he really believes God's promises. Another part of the Bible tells us that Abraham trusted that God would raise his son from the dead if he had to. Abraham trusted God. And mercifully, God stopped him before going through with it. And James describes in verse 22, have a look with me, at what happens at this point. You see that his faith and his actions, Abraham's faith and actions, were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that said, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. So the timeline goes, in Genesis 15, Abraham believed the promise and was given righteousness. Later, Genesis 22, he acted on that faith in this instant. His faith was shown to be saving. James says in verse 24, you see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Well, that sounds like he's saying the exact opposite of something Paul would say. Especially as considered righteous is literally justified. But James is using the word completely differently from the way Paul uses it. He's not trying to put forward salvation by works, by what we do. James is a firm believer in salvation by faith. But we are shown to be justified when we do good works to obey God. The order here is really important. First comes faith in Christ, which instantly leads to salvation, which in time produces good deeds. Faith, salvation, good deeds. They form this unbreakable chain, which means that if we see the good deeds, it's a good sign of genuine saving faith. But it also means if there are no good deeds in a person's life, then they can have no confidence that they have genuine faith, and they can have no confidence in their salvation. The last example, living faith, Rahab. Verse 25 says, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Well, if you don't know much about Rahab, she was a character in the Old Testament. Here's a drawing of her. She lived in Jericho, think walls tumbling down. Some of God's people came to Jericho as spies, and she hid them and let them escape at great risk to herself all because she had heard about God and started to trust him. Well, James is essentially making the same point here, but he's using Rahab as a contrast to Abraham. She's not like Abraham, the great father of a nation to whom God made great promises of blessing. She was a prostitute. She wasn't part of God's people. She had literally just become a follower of God. But the thing they had in common, they both had genuine faith in God, which led to good deeds. Rahab protected God's people, even though it meant putting her own life in danger. She may not have known everything there is to know about the Bible, but she had faith that led to action. She had faith in God, and that meant her actions needed to change. Rahab's devotion to God was risky. She acted on her faith, even though it meant putting herself in a dangerous situation. Her faith led to action. Well, James has given us a spiritual MOT, helping us see whether our faith is a living faith or a dead faith. And as I draw to a close, if you have noticed that you aren't producing good deeds, that your faith isn't leading to action, whether at all or just in some parts of your life, then let me suggest two things. Firstly, examine your faith. If we aren't producing good deeds, then the first place we should look at is our faith. Is our claim to be a Christian a genuine one? Is it just that we like the idea of eternal life or the blessings of Christianity? Or do we want to follow Jesus? Often the idea of Jesus as Saviour, often we like that idea of Jesus as Saviour, having him as a safety net. But a Christian is someone who not only has Jesus as their Saviour, but also has Jesus as their Lord. Not just a safety net, but our God and our King. And this is the faith that James is calling us to. This is the faith that the whole Bible calls us to. Faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. And this faith needs to be in place before the second step. So the first thing to do is examine your faith. The second thing is to act on your faith. To act on your faith. If you have put your faith in Christ, but you're not yet seeing good deeds in your life, then start. Start putting your faith into practice. We need to see the obvious contradiction in our lives. If we believe this, then we should act like we believe it. And step by step, with God's help, live with Jesus as Lord, acting out our faith. Well, James is calling us to a faith that isn't just something we talk about without doing anything about, or a set of things that we know in our heads to be true but don't act on. He's calling us to a living faith that is backed up by actions, with Jesus as Saviour and as Lord. Well, we're going to take a minute now to pause and reflect. Why not use this time to examine your faith and to think how you might act on your faith? We'll take a minute now, and then Rupert will come up and lead us in a confession.